You mistake patience for forbearance. I have worked at the downfall of Tywin Lannister since the day they told me of Elia and her children. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it was best to rename and rebrand ourselves as the game did so with a second edition. Now, we are the White Book Podcast, and each week we bring you your dose of strategy, insight, and all-around geeky goodness. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, but more importantly to you, our listeners. Please consider supporting us on Patreon so that we can continue to make this show the best it can, and I promise we have big plans for the future. This is The White Book. Patience rewarded. We finally have the Martell box. Even though we've known so many cards for what seems like forever at this point.
What's really important, the day we're doing this is the day they're on Thrones TV. So I'm Aaron, came home from work and immediately started playing with things. And the box is immediately as stupid as we thought.
Well, go figure. I mean, that also means it's immediate. People might have time to tech against it after a while, but it does look like really high power level. Really high.
The highest.
It's easily the most above curve box that we've gotten.
Mm-hmm. And that's from the Builders player, Roy Rogers.
Indeed. So, listeners, you can tell this is Team Hedge Knight, which Scott has joined up with for the moment. I don't know if that's a downgrade from being Kingsguard or what, but I won't press him on it.
All right. Talk now, we've got Scott.
I'm listening. I'm just upset that I've been downgraded.
Oh no. Well, maybe you can be upgraded again later. You can be reinstated.
Hopefully. Well,
we've got a lot of stuff to make it through. The boxes are always a big beast to try to review, so we're going to hop into that pretty much as quick as we can here. But at the top of the episode, once again, I wanted to spend a moment to hit up another Patreon raffle. So this time around, we've got Tyrell and Martell house cards up for grabs. So we're going to hit the old random.org generator and see what we get. Okay. We head back to the Patreon list, and Carl Groves wins the Tyrell and Martell house cards.
Oh, I was rooting for Lenny.
Lenny?
Lenny and Carl.
Not sure I know.
Does no one get this reference? God, I hate you people.
No.
I got the reference, Aaron. I got it.
Thank you, Rogers.
I'm too young. That's always my excuse.
It's a Simpsons reference, man. Like, no one's too young for the Simpsons.
Will
X. Also, apparently one of the only not married Thrones players, which is the other reason why.
Oh, yeah. That mean you don't get the Simpsons.
Most people I know who obsessively watch The Simpsons are single.
And
yes. Also true.
I don't know. I have no excuses.
You're just reaching for it there, Scotty. Reaching for it.
Beam him down.
Bet you that's a bad reference. That's a bad reference. That's a bad one.
Do we have one more winner?
No. I'm doing the mixtape. So he gets both. Yeah.
Wow. Lucky guy. Mm-hmm. He inspired a tangent and the house cards.
Yeah. You know, I mean, because inspiring a tangent, that's big news here. You know, we only do so many of those an episode. Like, it's a
team Hedge Knight is team Tangent.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, I've been good for Kingsguard, according to Will, about not getting on tangents, but it might be harder with you. We'll see.
Oh my god, our whole cast is just one giant tangent. It's fine.
It will factually be harder. The other day, Scott was part of the fastest team deck build I've ever done in my life. This week, I don't think it will be like that.
Aaron's too loquacious.
Because I'm the most responsible adult, and when I have an agenda, I'll get it done. Aaron and Roy, your children.
Ouch. Oof.
I'm definitely not.
That was actually pretty hurtful, Scott.
You know I'm joking with you.
I don't know that at all. I think you're much more responsible than either Roy or myself.
I think you're more responsible than us in certain ways. That is true.
Well, we won't head down that tangent to explore which particular ways. Let's go ahead and get over toward the box.
All right, so what's in the box?
Yeah, we've got the Sands of Dorne right here. We've got a bunch of cards to lay on you. We're going to be reading them, and since it's a box, we are going to be rating cards individually, unlike chapter packs. So who wants to take the first card?
I think Scott should take it because Jesse really wanted this, and he's replacing Jesse.
Oh, sick burn.
No, it's true. Jesse was dying to talk about this card.
Scott is also the last person on this cast to win a tournament playing Martell, so he should get the first Martell card.
Also true. I like the only way you
person,
think.
Only person in second edition to win a tournament on this podcast.
I'm the only person
in all of second edition to win a Martell tournament.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, once this box comes out, I don't think anything else ever wins, so.
No, I think new Danny wins.
Not out.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess. I think it'll be a short amount of time. But anyway, this is the big guy, Doran Martell, 7 cost loyal, intrigue power lord. Action. Kneel your faction card to choose a participating character with fewer than 2 challenge icons and remove it from the challenge. Reaction. After you lose a challenge, choose a character. Until end of phase, that character gains or loses challenge icon of your choice. He's really good. Martell usually doesn't want a high curve. So that will stop a lot of Martell decks from playing him, but I think some of the characters in this box and some builds will still love him, especially HRD Starfall, which I think when we deck built for that week or two ago, we probably didn't build the most efficient deck, but I think it will become a deck, and he will have a place in there for sure. And he's just really solid. It's definitely the better Doran.
I don't know if he's better. He's better in that deck.
I think he's, I don't know, I feel like he's more like widely applicable than the core set Doran. The core set one, I think you need a reasonable support to go with him, you know, the other lords and ladies. This Doran can do what he wants to do on his own.
Fair. The insight on the other and Arion with the other Doran are quite good. But this one, basically reads, please don't play crossing. You will not be getting 3 challenges off. You will be removed from one that you care about.
Probably the last one.
Ideally the last one. Sometimes you won't be able to pull that off, right? A good player will stop that. But one of those challenges is just fizzling.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the problem is with, like, against, particularly against crossing decks, like, crossing decks almost always, unless they are just rolling someone, lose one, you know, yeah, no, I think that this is a great anti-crossing card. I think it's a good anti-Tyrell card in particular, because Tyrell has a lot of powerful bycons, and they're going to win at least one challenge with those bycons, and yeah.
I think crossing won't be a deck soon anyway.
Yeah.
Because of this box and the new Danny, which I just mentioned, are both super anti-crossing cards. There is no chance 3 challenges are happening with a bunch of weenies to jump challenge through. And people not dying or losing their icons or just getting removed from challenges.
Yeah.
So enjoy your agenda while you can, crossing players.
It's not even just weenies. I love that he stops the mountain in his tracks. Nice little flavor thing.
So further, like, the best kill spell in the game is 3 of in any deck he's in.
Yeah.
You're gonna lose a challenge.
2 or 3 of too. Old Titan, not the box Titan.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do with this card. And I think he's a really, really kind of crazily powerful centerpiece. Like, his action is, like, great, but his reaction is where it's at, right?
They're both great.
Yeah. I mean, Greyjoy should keep him at least a little bit in check, no? Because Greyjoy's most important characters really don't care about him.
I mean, I agree, but how much is... I don't want to keep talking about this Danny, but how much is Greyjoy going to be around after this Danny comes out?
I think Greyjoy is actually... I mean, Asha's not super afraid of Doran, but... Or Euron, but a lot of the other...
Like, Vic does not
Tiny
like
Theon? Like, doesn't like this.
Yeah.
Like, Tiny Theon, it could be really annoying.
Not with Danny. Or... Not with Danny and Venomous enough to Martell.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Balon doesn't like this.
Yeah, Balon gets real sad. Balon's like, oh, I'm standing there, roar. Oh, shit. I guess I'm just standing here.
Well, he enables the messenger, which any of the... Any...
Yeah.
Two icon...
Although...
Hates.
True. I mean, his action, which has no limit, which is, I think, the craziest part about Doran... I do think, and this will be my final point about Doran, that's a legitimate drawback for his, is the Kneeling Your Faction card, because the best Martell card, or at least one of them, that still, even with this box out, requires you to kneel your faction card.
Yeah.
And that's a big cost.
I just lost my first game with this guy. It is Secret Teams. The best non-Martell card also requires a faction kneel.
Yes, Ryan's card is also really good at Martell.
Ryan's card is phenomenal at Martell, especially in a Doran deck. So I lost with this Doran, my first game I played with him, because I got both Secret Schemes hands judgmented and then couldn't use Doran. I needed either the cards or the Doran effect, and that I couldn't. Meant I lost a 13-plot game because Doran is stupid. But, yeah. He doesn't need to stand. What do you do when Kaliyat comes at you for a power challenge and, like, it's close to the end of the game with this Doran out? Be sad.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what your solution to that is supposed to be. Like, that's just the end of the game, right? Like,
finding a slot for Kalio to still is going to be really damn hard.
Not in Doran decks. In Doran decks, he fits easily. In a lot of other decks, I don't think you can run him. But I think a Doran deck probably has to run Kalio.
That's probably fair.
And probably, anyway, probably Starfall, probably old Nim. Like, he's a specific deck. He's not just good in Martell. He's a specific deck. Although he's also good in Martell.
He's just right. Good.
Let's rate him.
A minus.
A.
A.
He is also an A. I think he's really good.
Bray's underrating him big time. Roy, read the next card.
Alaria Sand. She is House Martell loyal character, 6 cost, 5 strength, green and blue icons. She's a bastard and a companion. Reaction: after Alaria Sand is declared as an attacker, choose up to 3 characters controlled by the defending player. Each of those characters must be declared as a defender for this challenge, if able. She is Redonk. She makes Hellholt, that card that Aaron and I whined about when... Which box was it in? The Tyrell box, right?
Whoa. What was that?
What was that?
Hey guys, Will here, popping in for a moment to apologize. You're going to notice a gap in cards and a host change thanks to some time and some technical difficulties this episode. It was kind of a mess to piece together and get going, and we wound up losing part of the recordings. So I very much apologize for that, but we will salvage and press ahead with everything that we can. In the meantime, a quick little aside to prop the First Player Championship, our premier community event here in Springfield, Missouri. You can find more info about it on the igot.cards event listing. You can find it on Facebook. Our local group is Valor Midwestus, and you can find some information. We've got a little bit of a hiccup with the website allowing badge sales, but not individual event ticket sales at the moment, which hopefully will be ironed out by the time listeners are listening to this. Come check it out. It's going to be a good time. On with the show.
Meh.
Okay, dear listeners, you'll notice we are trading out some posts here thanks to a bunch of technical difficulties and some scheduling and all sorts of fun. Jesse's now joining us. Thanks for being here while you could, Scott, and welcome, Jesse.
Hey, everybody.
All right, we're gonna keep moving here, see if we can make it through. So up next is Aryo Hota. He is a unique House Martell loyal. He's a 4-cost, 3-strength, military and power icons, the guard trait, and ambush 6. Then reduce the cost to ambush Aryo Hota by 1 for each plot in your used pile. Reaction, after you win a challenge in which Aryo Hota is defending, return him to your hand to raise the claim value on your plot card by 1.
Phase. Hold on. Does he not have limit, like minimum of 1?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
No, in wars to come, he can go to 0, I believe. Right, Jesse?
Yes.
That's stupid.
Oh.
That could be...
No way.
That could be pretty cool.
It's vicious.
It is. I mean, and that's a very, very aggressive Martell deck. I mean, is that a different enough deck for this Hota to carve out his own place? Because he's up against some pretty stiff competition the way Martell decks are playing right now. That core one is very strong.
Are you making porn jokes? Whatever.
No.
All right,
oh my god. Changing the subject.
So,
okay.
So Sunspear plus this card plus a couple of retaliation is probably a deck. Like, because I don't know much of anything that can survive that sheer amount of aggro. I don't know if that's T1, and it's certainly not Martell's deck, but, like, that's a deck.
Yes. I think that the problem that we're going to run into with this box and assessing where it takes the meta is this box is so above the power curve that it's dumping a whole bunch of new archetypes and a whole bunch of new design space for Martell that's difficult to sort out without a season of competitive play of where it's going to end up. This Aryo Hota is a really good card, but he's probably competing with one of the top 5 best Martell cards for a spot, one that plays with all of its other pre-existing themes, but there probably is a Aryo Hota, like, go second, but be aggressive when you go second deck that exists. But the question is going to be as Martell good as Martell Wolf, Martell Rose, Martell Fealty that are doing traditional Martell strategies. I don't know.
This is Martell Rose. Like, this is the new way of Martell Rose. This will be Martell Rose for sure.
Mm. Can you explain further?
Absolutely. You already played the board so much. Like, that is a retail deck. Like, the winning turns are usually when you can pop retail and you can raise the claim with an Olenna's Informant. Like, if you're raising claim with Olenna's Informant, Hota, you're throwing Hota's Axe, Sunspear. Like, the original deck that Bratson then built ran, like, 3 Sunspear. Now it's down to 1, but, like, I think it goes more back to the original idea where you're just punishing your opponents. So, I think this fits perfectly into Martell Rose, honestly.
So would that deck be able to afford Dorn?
Probably not.
Was that Dorn the location or Dorn?
Dorn the location.
Okay.
I was functionally not. Thinking about the reserve boost as a potential way to keep the deck going.
That would be phenomenal.
I don't think it could either. That's what I was just curious.
I mean, like, the economy's great in Martell, but I'm not sure that it just seems like it's too big of a tempo hit.
I don't know. 2 cards a turn is pretty good.
Not necessarily 2 cards. Yeah. Hota means you're winning on defense. for that big claim. Does he just...
I think...
Ugh. God, what's absurd about him is he just raises the claim on your plot. It's not like he raises it for a challenge.
Yeah, until the end of the phase.
I don't know.
And he is at that 4 cost point. He could work with the Obara we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think this card is absolutely insane.
You can also use Doran to give him icons.
Wait, what? How?
Doran takes or removes or gives or that character.
Oh, God, it does. I didn't even notice it gives icons. That is.
Yep.
I will say that the card is probably good, but this is like a shag of players. Like,
I mean,
I like dream.
I claim dream.
This is what we always look at. Like, this is insane. I just love this card.
Absolutely no reason he can't ambush in and then ambush in again.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. Jesus, as long as you can afford it one way or another.
I mean, it's a good thing Martell didn't just get two ways to jump him in one phase.
Yeah.
Four claim challenges.
Even without granting him an icon, yeah, you're looking at a 3 or 4 claim intrigue by the time you're done with this. Assuming that's your challenge.
As soon as the card was leaked, Nick Hansen wrote up like several messages in the group chat of Wasau, just like how many different ways he's going to punish people with this card.
So it's a Martell Rose card. It's where else does it go?
Martell Wars to Come, I think.
Some versions of Wars to Come. Some versions.
Right. I just think like the right build for it, but like this slots in nicely.
I think one of the big, the only things that holds this down at all, besides the other hotel's very existence, is the other hotel works with Flea Bottom. And that matters a lot for Breaking Time.
It's true. If Flea Bottom goes away, like it gets restricted in some way, this REO goes up a lot in value.
Yeah.
In just general Martell decks.
Well, because Hota plus Breaking Ties plus Hota is silly.
Super silly.
I did it earlier.
So I think we should probably move on. I know. That's what I was going to say. Never mind. I think he is an A-minus card.
Yeah, he's just an A.
I'm gonna put him in the B plus range right now. I feel like he's so overshadowed by the prevalence of the other one with Flea Bottom that I'm gonna put this one a little lower for now.
I'm trying not to take the other one into mind when I rate the card. I think personally, I'd give him an A plus.
Yeah, I think you have to because you can only play one in a deck, right? Do you ever really run both? Although I guess you could.
No,
like there's not really much reason not to.
I think I just look at this card a lot like the Maester Aemon, the big one. Like 10% of the Night's Watch decks run them, but the ones that do punish you.
Sure, but is there any real reason not to run both besides Heads on Spikes exist?
Yeah, you know they're not really staying in play. You could be picking and choosing and trading them in and out, potentially even in the same challenge phase.
I could be convinced.
On a Breaking Ties turn, you could go Ario Hota, cheap Ario Hota, sack cheap Ario Hota, bring him out with Flea Bottom, sack him again, then use expensive Ario Hota to control the challenge.
If you've
somehow
lost a challenge at that point, if you Hota twice and still lost a challenge, like it should not be possible. Oh, sorry, my stupid foot. You turned cramp. All right, ready for Nim?
Yes.
All right, Nymeria. Nymeria San, not a direwolf. Unique, House Martell loyal, thank God. Character 4/4 military intrigue, bastard and sense. After you lose dominance, discard one card at random from the winning opponent's hand and draw one card. I'm trying not to curse, but oh my good God. This is such ridiculous card advantage. Like, A, it's just a good body, right? A 4/4 mill intrigue is really good in basically any house, especially Martell. But, like, just a two-card swing in dominance is humongous, almost no matter what. I feel like this card is significantly better than the old Nymeria, which was already one of the best cards in the game. I love this card.
I agree. I think she has several applications as well.
Also, if you're gonna win dominance, you just Obara her back to bounce someone to hand or something.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you always lose dominance in a Martell Stag hand destruction with Edric Storm out.
Using Edric, your own characters.
Wow,
hilarious. Just says choose a character.
It's true.
What did your opponent do?
I feel like that's a little too Shaga there, Jesse. But
I don't know. Queensman, Viperize, Nymeria. Like, I think you're just stripping their hand every turn.
You could really obliterate their hand, and that opens you up for a lot of bastards here if you wanted to fiddle with the new Viper too.
So I think
seems interesting. I think
the thing we have to discuss is the sheer cost. Is this card worse than Melisandre? Big Mel.
No, I think it's better.
Right? I have a Facebook thread that I need to refer to find out.
The question is it easier to lose Dom or win Dom? I mean, that I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean it's easier to lose Dom.
Especially if you're going second, right?
Especially if you can control what you can jump in and out.
If nothing else, you control what you're throwing in the challenge. Like,
right, then you also just don't have to commit so many slots to losing dominance as you do to winning dominance.
You have to commit no slots to losing dominance. Just don't win.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And like, it's a two-card swing, which obviously, you know, isn't as good as killing and seeing hand. But like, the difference between 4 and 7 is absurd.
It's the card at random that's really annoying. Like, exactly. She'd be a much more balanced card if it was your opponent chooses and discards a card,
dude.
And
if she didn't draw
a card,
if she did that and you didn't draw, I would still run her.
Oh yeah, I mean she's ridiculous. I do want to rain a little bit on the parade until the first cycle Nymeria rotates. There is legitimate competition between the two cards.
I think only one deck.
Or I think in a Sand Snake deck, there's serious competition because she gives those icons to all Sand Snakes.
Yeah, they have icons now. It's not like
they do.
I'm not sure that it's competition or just different decks.
I feel like icon removal runs Nim, and if it's not icon removal, I'm running Nim.
Nim is also much more of a controllable card. I mean, not controllable, but much more of a stealable card. Like she could be ward. This Nymeria could be warded, and that's a feel good play if there ever was one. There's a bit more answers to this Nymeria.
You think that ward enough? Because like a milk or a nightmares means I'm just sitting there with a sad 5-coster.
That's true. Correct. That's true. I just have had the other Nymeria cause so many headaches in my second edition experience that I think that this card is ridiculously powerful, and I am going to give her an A. And I think she is one of the best cards in the box. But I think this other one is still an A card that you, when you're building a Martell deck, you legitimately have to make a really difficult choice between the two cards. That's only because both are such above curve cards.
I don't think it's that difficult. I think Obara particularly makes it an easier choice. Mm-hmm. I think she's an A+.
A+.
I think I'm with Roy on this one. Definitely still a great A card. But I definitely still think there's decks and a reasonable number of them, not just corner case Shaga wackiness, that still wants icon removal Nim.
So we're 7 cards in this box. Can I just say what my ratings were quickly? AA, B-, AS, AA.
So
seems fairly balanced.
Can we move on to a card that you're definitely not going to give an A to?
Sure.
Tyene Sand. She is a non-loyal House Martell unique character. Cost 4, strength 3, a lone green icon. Bastard Sand Snake. The stealth keyword. Reaction. After you lose a challenge as the defending player, kneel a Sand Snake character to put Tyene Sand into play from your hand. Easily the worst card in the box so far, but a good card with the first cycle Nymeria, so she can get a second icon. She's kind of crappy, I think. She is crappy. Like, the stealth is nice, but you have to kneel another character.
Yeah.
You have to lose a challenge as the defending player, It has to be a Sand Snake character that you kneel. She only has that one icon. Sure, the stealth is good, but the stealth and the intrigue icon is not really the end of the world for... It's not like a thing you're screaming for as Martell. So
you know what? You know what the use for that one is? The only use for that I see is how... let's avoid the curse. How gosh darn annoying that Asha stealth is.
Yeah,
she's like, screw you, Asha stealth. You can't have 8,000 intrigue strength.
So don't you just open with the intrigue challenge, absolutely. And then you don't have to work play. Then you don't worry about her.
Then you only get it off once.
Correct.
For the rest of the game. I don't know. I'm not running this card. It's a C-minus.
Yeah, let's be honest here. Like if I'm looking at running a Sand Snake deck, which I obviously have to be if I'm considering playing this Tyene anyway. The old Tyene is just hands down better with all the Sand Snake support, right? She's going to let you bounce bigger bodies in with Ovara if you need to. You're probably running Icon Removal Nim in that deck, which means the old Tyene can kill stuff once you've taken their Intrigue icons. There's no reason to play this one.
I think this is a tribal card and it's fine in a Jumping Sand Snake deck.
This is worse than one of your clansmen. Give it a rating.
I mean, it's the needle. No, it's the needle.
We're not talking about this card for an hour. Give it a rating.
All right. The D. She's a D.
Yeah, I'm with Roy.
C minus. C minus, that's where I guess.
All right. Go for it, Jesse.
Sure. I have a non-unique Martell character, Nymeria's Guard. 4 strength, 4 cost, 3 strength, military power icons, army and guard traded, no attachments as well, challenges actions, pay 4 gold, and stand a Sand Snake character. Put Nymeria's Guard into play from your hand.
Hey, Jesse, can I say something real quick? I'm sorry. I'm just going to take it all back with Tyene Sand. So you obviously, this is a broken combo. You lose a challenge, kneel a Sand Snake character, put Tyene into play, and then you pay 4 gold to stand the character you just knelt and put Nymeria's Guard into play. That is broken. Dude, it's the new ladies combo.
The only reason
we are
we've been friends for too long, Roy. This is what we're thinking about already. I actually think this card is really good.
I think this card's fine. This is actually a good tribal card, but I'll let you guys talk.
It's more than fine. Like, in any other house, like, this card's only kept down by the sheer amount of goodness Martell has, right? Like, in almost any other house with almost any other tribal trait, you're like, hell yeah, I'm playing 2 or 3 of these. Like, Direwolves, you're playing this. Dothraki, you're playing this. Clansmen, you're playing this. Martell, you're like, shoot. Maybe. I don't know if I can fit it.
Well, and particularly,
I don't know, you go second a lot, so like the stand on Sand Snake is, I think this card is good.
Is pretty steep though.
I mean, you don't have to pay the 4 gold, you're Martell.
Yes you do.
To stand, but not to jump.
Stand. Yeah, not to jump, but this is a crappy card to jump. Like, it's a 4 for 3 icon. Like,
and I think you have to be looking at what characters are you standing with this, right? We've got stuff like Bastard Daughter that, your 1 strength character, pretty negligible benefit. You've got stuff like the Tyene we just talked about, the base 1 icon, pretty negligible benefit. We've got, new Nymeria. Well, standing her might put us in the position of winning dominance. I don't want to do that. Old Nymeria, well, she's only going to be a monocon, so benefit there is circumstantial to both attacking and defending. Old Tyene, her ability only works on the intrigue challenge, so I need ways to make extra intrigues. I think the targets for this are actually kind of questionable.
HRD Dragonstone Castle.
Got him, boys.
That's it. HRD Dragonstone Castle is one of the 10 to 15 best decks in the game. It's up there. And it's real annoying for Martell. Nim's Guard saying screw you to that is really strong, and just generally, like, even if you're not getting 2 offensive challenges, being able to defend and then do something else, being able to cancel and kneel, basically. Mm-hmm. These are all powerful effects.
I think this card will find its place in tribal decks. It'll be good. It'll be annoying.
It'll definitely be annoying. I think Aaron's highlighting that you can defend a challenge and then go into your turn and stand Tyene, stand Nymeria, stand Obella, stand whatever you want, and just get a challenge is good.
Add that to Shandy Stone, man. And you stand in half your board.
Yeah. It's not like it's you're only gonna ever see this in Jumping Sand Snake decks. I don't think it's a good enough.
Or Martell Crossing.
Right. Martell Crossing could just become Sans. I don't know. I'm more skeptical that Sans Snake and of themselves are good enough. They're not good stuff cards, right? So you really do have to go all in on the Sans Snake synergy. But when you do, this is a card that you're going to really enjoy having in your deck.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, rating
C plus,
B minus.
B. Yeah.
So we went C plus B minus B. Nice. All right. Who wants to talk about this card?
It's Will, right?
Oh, poor Will.
Yeah, I think so. All right. We got Obella Sand. She's going to be a non-loyal Martell character. 3 cost, 2 strength.
Why is she not loyal?
Power icons. That is a question I want answered. Bastard and Sand Snake. Reaction after Obella Sand discarded for entry claim. Or killed for military claim, move 1 power from the winning opponent's faction card to your own. Shuffle Obella Sand from your discard or dead pile into your deck. I mean, 3 of from here till kingdom come for Martell, right?
No, I don't think you have the space in Martell, which is dumb. But I think
she's a 1 of.
No, I think she's a 1 or 2, probably not 3. I could see 2, but like she can get reset, right?
I'm running 3.
I mean, the first time I played her, I'm probably biased. The first time I played her, the opponent dropped Illyn, and I was sad.
Oh,
like, I'm not even sure
I ever...
I set her up.
Maybe set up, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to toss the card on set up. I figure, I'll cancel mill for a while. If they want to reset, they want to reset. I mean, I think 2 is probably a solid number, because, like, also, heads on spikes, there's enough annoying little shit.
Yeah.
Or I'm just running out of cards and now I have to marshal her. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really want the dupes choking up my hand. I'm 1 or 2. Although, she's still freaking phenomenal. And God.
Yeah. I mean, and anything that's going to make your opponent really wary of hitting you with that intrigue challenge, I count as a win for me, right?
So, I actually have a question. Can this reaction, when she's discarded for intrigue claim, be treacheried?
I don't think so. She's not actually a character at that point, right? She's just a card? Or am I mixing that up with first edition?
No, that's first edition.
Okay.
She should absolutely be able to be canceled. She's always a character.
Okay.
Because you can...
Yeah, she can be canceled.
In first edition, that was one of the silly things. Things in hand that jumped weren't really characters yet.
Yeah.
Until they entered play.
Yeah. But no, Obella's definitely always a character in second edition, I think.
She is very powerful.
I mean, you fall in her or march her, and then you wait for them to military at a key point, you flee bottom it back in, and you're like, sucka.
There you go.
Give me power. Give me power, actually, and now you discard a card from my other bag.
You do dumb stuff like her. And then still kill her for military claim, and the dupe goes in your discard pile, and then immediately flea bottom her back in. There's just like dumb plays that you can do with this kind of card that never, you unless something really goes wrong, seldom actually enters your dead or discard pile.
I mean, discard's not a problem. It's the like off chance that something kills her that's annoying.
Yeah, I really love her with that flea bottom type of play. Come to think of it, or just flea bottom in the same deck as her, since she shuffles. So anything that you actually wind up having to put on the bottom of your deck with flea bottom, which admittedly is rare in Martell, she can shuffle.
No, it's not that rare. I've seen a lot of Dornish Spies go at the bottom of people's deck.
Okay. Getting those back is pretty solid. Obella, real good. Let's give her an A+.
Yeah, I'm game.
A+.
Yep, I'm fine with that. So I get to read Yeah, one of the other very thematic cards. All right. Quentin Martell, House Martell, non-loyal character, cost 3, strength 5, red and blue icons. He's a knight and a lord. He has renown. Amazing so far. But then he has this force reaction. After the challenges phase begins, if there are fewer than 3 plot cards in your use pile, kneel Quentin Martell. I have to give Danny an A+. This card is super thematic, like super duper thematic. And I really appreciate Danny is actually a really good thematic designer when he puts his mind to it. And this is another one of those cute thematic cards that he designed. I'm Quentin skeptical. I think outside of a Wars to Come deck, if there are fewer than 3 plot cards in your use pile, is going to be a good portion of the game. And your best, this guy sitting knelt is not really going to be doing too much for you.
You're missing something.
What, Shandystone?
No.
And Orion?
No.
And
3 costs, the obvious one.
Obella?
Yeah.
Flea bottom. Oh, that's true. You can flea bottom him in, yeah.
You,
that's true.
You set him up, he kneels, you shrug, or you set him up and then you fall from favor.
Favor him, yeah.
Bring him back, he's gone for a while, and you'll draw him again when you shuffle for Obella.
Yeah.
Later. Johnny loves him. I don't think he's worth a tempo hit. I think he's good. I think in a lot of other houses I'd play him. I think I don't have space for him in my Martell deck.
I mean, maybe the flea bottom synergy is enough that you wouldn't play the 6-drop Quentin, but I like the 6-drop Quentin a lot too. Another very thematic card that Nate designed. Yeah. So Nate and Danny have both designed very thematic Quentin cards.
Rumor has it 3-for-5s are good.
Yeah, well, I hear Second Sons, which is what, a 3-for-6, right?
Yeah. That Hound is also 3-for-6, right?
I mean, you like Fickle Bannerman?
So. Fickle Bannerman is actually pretty good.
I love it.
I'm sure we're going to see a lot of Fickle Bannerman next weekend.
Although, Jesse? I don't think Fickle Bannerman is, I think it's really good, but I don't think it's quite that good without Flea Bottom.
I run 3 of them. I don't play Flea Bottom.
I mean, bestowing one on. Never mind. Yeah. Anyway, I mean,
love you.
Sorry, Quentin. Love you. I love you too, Aaron. He's good. No, he's not. I just don't like this card. Like after the challenge phase begins, I think the tempo hits too much. I'm gonna give him a C. Like I could be wrong. I'm willing to be wrong, but I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna do the Alex Black saying Abandoned Stronghold is a D card. In the box review thing and say that this is a C card.
So I think Quentin's a B minus. I won't use him, but like people are going to, and he's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm going to use him. I love him. I'm going to give him a B, and I think I might be wrong. I think he's higher. And Wars to Come decks for sure. I think he's insane.
He's good in Wars to Come decks. That's true.
He gives you native renown, and like Martell loves, like they don't have it. Like they just love this. Like it gives them closing power on top of just not allowing your opponent to do anything. It's super annoying. And like Flea Bottom exists. Like you're not gonna run a Martell deck without 3 of them.
Yeah, very fair.
It's not like they don't have ways to get cards to your discard pile in this game. So
I mean, and there's at least 2 ways to jump him in Martell alone.
Correct. Like I like him a lot.
So, sir.
I mean, I don't know that there's much else to say about him. I'm intrigued, but don't just love him. I actually
no. He doesn't have that icon.
But a bunch. I think I'm actually probably just giving him like a C+.
Hmm. I think it's Jesse's read now, right?
No, I want Cletus. All right, fine, go.
No.
We went all out of order because I did. Yeah, whatever. Don't worry about
it. We gave up.
All right, go ahead, Jesse. All
right, Sir Cletus Ronwood.
Oh.
Sir Cletus Ronwood, 3-for-3, military intrigue icons. He is non-loyal, unique character. House Ronwood and Knight traded. No attachments except weapon, which is great. Increase the initiative value on your revealed plot card by 1 for each plot card in your use pile.
What you got?
Solid mid-range 1 of character.
It just seems solid, right? I don't know. I don't think like he blows me away, but his stuff is really cool. No attachments is really cool for any character under four for sure.
And 3-for-3 is really good, particularly with this icon spread, right? Like,
yeah,
you don't see a lot of 3-for-3 military intrigue characters.
That might be about my favorite combo.
There's like a weird, yeah, there's like a weird Banner Sun Knights package that someone is going to break at some point, and Quentin is one of those cards that could help with that as well. That I think Cletus will be an important part of that deck. Like, it could be a Tyrell Sun deck or something.
This is just an efficient card.
Yeah, one of.
I'm not fitting it in any of my Martell decks right now, but it is a good card. Like,
I wasn't going to until Roy brought up a Banner Sun Knights package, so now
that's
I'm totally build
yeah,
that.
That's janky for you. That's the deck it goes. Yeah. It's just like I don't know what from the.
What from well, this not going crossing.
It will go in crossing, I think. I
don't know. And that hypothetical
you have plus one reserve on the second turn, or not reserve. I'm initiative is pretty good.
Sure. What do you?
Yeah, cutting? That's what I was saying.
Shadow City Bastard. okay, so you're cutting the Dornish Spy. Like,
okay. So we just lose the first snow.
You might cut one. That deck may run two. What's her name? Two Obellas and one Cletus. There you go.
Yeah. You know. And,
yeah, I don't think
and,
so.
And that hypothetical intimidate deck we talked about earlier, maybe it's Cletus.
Why?
Make sure I'm going first and intimidating this stuff.
And I think a Wars to Come deck would find room for one of him.
Nope, absolutely no. Mm-hmm. Wars to Come has no space. I just made a 68 card deck and sat there crying as I tried to cut cards.
Welcome to me.
And Cletus wasn't even like a glimmer in my eye. Dude, wait till you start building Martell right now. It's just like,
or with a new Danny. I built a 77 card deck the other day. Everyone was like, oh, this is upsetting.
All right. So yeah. I'm going to give him a C plus.
I'm going to give him a B minus.
C?
No, I think C.
I'll give him a C.
Is very reasonable for him.
That we found a home got him the plus. Larisa? Larisa Sand is a. God, why did they print this card? That's a theme. Loyal, Martell, 2 coster, 2 strength, intrigue, bastard, and sensei. When unique Martell character you control is killed, draw 1 card. Limit once per phase. She triggers off herself. Why does she trigger off herself?
But she also triggers off her sister getting killed, and then her sister gets shuffled back into her deck.
Triggers off literally all of her sisters getting killed. They're all unique Martell characters.
A ton of other Martells, too.
Well, but the thing with her and Obella is you don't like the card advantage there is or disadvantage of that character being killed is almost non-existent. Like if you can get that combo going,
I mean, there's just no downside. You're always going to run one of her. Like she is what you said about Cletus. Yeah. She's a one of in every Martell deck until the end of time because she's for some. Damn reason in a box. Also, she's loyal, so like when you're bored, Wars to Come.
You mean Breaking Ties her?
Breaking Ties her. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Breaking Ties will be the new name of this podcast. This podcast is called Breaking Ties. We've got Wars to Come, and we've got our other podcast, Shadow City Bastards. Actually, those are the three podcasts.
Those are good names, actually.
She's an A minus because she's still, I don't know. Because
she's just
like, this box is so stupid. She's an A minus.
You're probably never going to run three of her in a deck.
Oh, she's a one of.
This card without Breaking Ties is like a B.
Yeah.
B minus. This card with Breaking Ties is like an A plus.
So
yeah,
just gives you another target.
Yep.
Ugh. Yep. Like I can't imagine building a Martell deck and not throwing one of her in.
Correct.
Yeah, it's she's an A minus. Yeah. So, Will, you want to do Maester Kendry?
Sure.
She haven't read in a while.
We got Maester Kendry. He's non-loyal. 2 cost, 1 strength. Drink power icons. He's Maester. Action, kneel Maester Kendry to reduce the gold of the next event you play this phase by 2. You know, I would have liked this a boatload for Martell this time last year, but when I've already got like Water Gardens and Bastard and such right now, plus it feels like my challenge phase gold is going toward non-event things more often than events right now. I don't know. He's just okay. He's a little less wow factor than some of these others.
He is a card that makes each decent Maester that is printed, and he's a decent Maester, makes Conclave one step better, and he makes Conclave one step better. So I like him a lot, actually. He's not a great card. He's like a C+, B-, but I like him. And I really like that Danny is slotting in another Evergreen Maester that has a cool toolboxy effect to make Conclave stronger.
I think Martell Conclave might be becoming the best Conclave.
I don't know. Have you seen someone play Tyrell Conclave?
Yes, yes, I have. Sitting next to me at your tournament. Can't imagine who. I think Tyrell Conclave is really good. I just think, like,
I'm a big fan of Tyrell Conclave.
I think, like, Martell Conclave can reasonably get Big Doran out and keep him out, and then use all Martell's tricks. I feel like
I like Maester Kendry.
I like him too. I'm never playing him, but I like him a lot.
I think it's, I mean, to say that Conclave and Martell is good is because that they literally have two of the best Maesters to go over.
Ooh, like, yeah. You know what else is really good? Like, I thought it was bad, but as if Martell Wolf sticks around everywhere, and for some reason, something we're reading suggests it might be, that stupid Maester that...
returns attachments.
That returns attachments is really annoying. Really annoying for Martell Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's just like, I'm gonna intrigue, but or you can't intrigue me at all, or your freaking Froso is returned to hand, and I can use him this turn, and now good luck.
Yep. And then you gotta ward this 2-drop that doesn't do much.
Yeah. Well, what you can do is you can Venomous Blade it, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
But I feel like you Venomous Blading that is sort of almost a win anyway.
Yeah.
A 2 for 2.
Again, I really, really appreciate Danny pushing Conclave. And every Maester like this that's printed is like a boon in my book. So
Conclave is one of my favorite agendas. I wholeheartedly agree.
I think it's actively bad, but sure. I'm gonna.
Oh, I didn't say it was.
Yeah, I'm with Jesse. Like, yeah, I like Conclave a lot too.
I'm gonna give Kendry a nice C+. I feel like he's about as good as Cletus. They're both good cards without a home, given what Martell is. But they both have a deck where I would play them.
Yeah, C+. I agree. I think that's right where I am. I like, but a little. A little awkward at the moment.
I'll give him a B-. I like his ability a whole lot. It'll always be good. And it's just an action, which I really enjoy. Like, if it was like a challenged action, it'd be different. But just being an action, I really enjoy that.
I mean, if it did ambush too, I think he'd be completely crazy in that.
He'd be busted.
Would it? Because, you know, water runs.
It would be busted.
Whatever. Speaking of busted, Scotty's favorite card. Who wants it?
I'll read it. Housedain Escort, House Martell card. It is a non-loyal character. 2 cost, 2 strength. Red and blue icons. Ally, Housedain. While there are 3 or more plot cards in your use pile, you may marshal Housedain Escort from your discard pile as if it were in your hand. Very strong flea bottom card.
Dissension proof.
Woo. Well, he's dissension proof unless you're going And Okard proof. Okard's just an action, though, right? Because you can ambush him in, right? Or Ariana him in,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
pay that's the two gold.
Yeah, but you can marshal it from your discard pile, so whatever.
Well, but I'm saying...
It's like, oh, man.
Dissension is a marshaling action, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
So, but Okard is not. So you can... In fact, Okart's really strong when you do it with Ariane. That's probably the only use of him.
No one's ever playing Okart, so don't stress it. No one's ever playing Dissension either.
Not at this rate.
However, this card, real good. I'm not playing it. Because, again, I don't know how I'm supposed to fit this. Like, it's just a Videla body besides that, you know, I can marshal from the discard. And Shadow City Bastard exists, so... But, like, it's a really good card that I can't
maybe play. That was the design philosophy here. Push the power level of the box so high that people can't actually play all the cards.
Oh, Scott will find a deck that this is good in.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I'm finding a spot for this guy, but I definitely want to mess around with him. I like him a lot.
Yeah. I wish there were more Dane synergies with other Danes besides Dawn.
We'll get there. Like, Danny's running out of design space for Martell, so we'll get a House Dane, like, broken House Dane card in the fifth cycle. Is that the Shadow cycle, right?
So, Jesse, do you know the first edition Martell meme?
No.
It was just that the house card should be restricted at all times. I feel like this box is that meme. Like, just in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say I'm too pleased with it.
Alright.
I'm pleased with it when I'm playing with it, and not pleased with it when anyone else.
So I assume Glazer wants the next card?
Wait, we didn't rate this one, did we?
Did we not?
We didn't rate it.
I'm giving it a B-.
Yeah, B-.
I'm going to say C-. Say. Nice. I think there's a single...
Wait, what?
Yeah, C-.
You're nuts.
I might be.
I think he's like a... C to C plus. He's a very solid weenie if you can, you know, find a deck that wants this particular weenie.
I mean, I also feel like a Stark son might really like him because Stark doesn't draw and being able to be like, that got discarded. Oh well. No, I can still play it. It's solid.
If he had the knight trait, he'd be much better, but he does not.
Well, he's an escort, so you know what that means.
No? That he should have the companion trait?
That he should have the companion trait. All right. Yes, I'm reading Shadow City Bastard. It's the name of my podcast. How could I not?
Yeah, it was my turn, but I was going to refuse to read it anyway.
All right, you can read it next. I played with it earlier. Oh my god! You should cry. Shadow City Bastard. Why? House Martell non-loyal. 2-for-1 intrigue power bastard ambush 3. Sack Shadow City Bastard to choose a character with a printed cost 5 or lower. Until the end of the phase, that character loses a military intrigue and a power icon. Are you out of your mind with this card? Sorry, this card deserves a curse. What?
It's...
Why does it... Wait. So it's not loyal, so it goes everywhere. It's got 2 icons for God knows what reason. And it's ambushable. And it doesn't take away 1 icon. It takes away all 3.
And it hits bigger stuff than the event that did similar things. It's got more targets.
No, exact same thing, right?
Oh,
no, it's both 5 and
strength. Oh, you're right. It was strength 4 or lower, isn't it? I think that's what I was
thinking. Yeah, 4 or lower, yeah.
Okay.
Cards like this devalue the entire game.
That is so spicy. Spicy commentary, Jesse. You're going to have to expand on that one.
I hate this card. Like, you're paying 2 gold and you get to do it essentially twice a round to just do whatever. Or so, like,
you can do it once,
it's 3 gold for an...
after the first time.
Well, there's 3 of them in your deck.
Well, yeah.
Sure. And it's non-unique, which is also a problem. Flea Bottom is a problem. This card is bouncing 5 cost or lower. Well, I mean, like, not bouncing, I'm saying it's like stripping 5 cost or lower. It's just, it's an issue. Like, I hate this card. I hate that it's ever printed. It doesn't need to be in the game. I hope this card hits the restricted list, like, tomorrow.
With Flea Bottom in existence, I mean, this is the best character in the game, right? Like, a Second Son's always had that claim while Targ was really good, and this is just flat out better.
So, I mean, I agree with you. This is an S tier card. It is just all it makes Banner Sun an amazing control package. It's ridiculous in mono Martell or Martell Banner, literally anything. Martell Banner Sun, like, it still makes that deck good. But
it makes dual, it makes dual
better. Does, but I actually have a question here that I think we should discuss at least a little bit. So what, if anything, keeps this deck and this card in check? I think Targaryen is the only thing that keeps this card in check.
How?
Yeah, Danny.
Danny.
I mean, does that keep it in check? Like, you have to use a burn on my little weenie. No. That's fine. Now I've got my 18 other.
They flea bottom. Your next action's an event. It could be any event.
Right. But they should be burning. Like, well, it could be any targ event. But sure, they're using a targ event, and instead of, like, using that extra burn on my Arion, they have to get rid of my Shadow City Bastard forever. I feel like that's probably a win.
The issue is like, why is a 2-drop in the game that is non-unique, that is not a named character, have this strong of an ability that literally just destroys, like, 5 houses?
Have you met the, have you met the Second Sons? This is literally the same thing people felt against the Second Sons, except this is somehow better.
But here's...
Why?
Second Sons is, like, trash right, here compared to the
thing, Aaron. If Flea Bottom gets restricted and or banned, this card is still good. Like, it's not maybe S tier, but it's still, like, a B plus, A minus card.
Yeah.
It's an A plus.
Like,
it's a very solid.
It's still a really good card.
Yeah.
And why do you give it ambush?
I don't know why it has ambush. That is what boggles. Why does it have any icons? If this had no icons and no ambush, I'm running 3 of them.
It has less ambush than Dorner's Spy, which only takes 1 icon.
Well, you don't have to sacrifice.
But it sacks itself, which is...
That's what I'm saying. It messes up the value curve for, like, several different things. It's just super frustrating.
It absolutely destroys Stark, which was very necessary at the meta right now. It is hilarious against Night's Watch. Good, screw Night's Watch. It's really annoying against Clansmen.
Super good against Barrow.
It's really great against Barrow. Great against everyone but Tara and Tyrell.
It's still pretty good against Tyrell, because there's a lot of, like, 5-cost dudes that you need to utility to keep to save your big dudes to do important things. So, I mean, just taking away options from Tyrell is pretty good.
Yeah, look, it's never going to be bad, right? There's never a point where, like, you draw this card and you're like, oh, man, this is just a bad card.
Lannister, good stuff that ran, like, 5-6 cost characters, 3-7 cost characters, or some Greyjoy deck that barely has any characters that are below 5 cost.
It is absolutely still good against both of those decks.
I agree.
Yep.
But just, it is, like, what do you defend with when, like, this is, no. This won, like, not even blanked so much crap. When I played with it, it won so many challenges. Just pop it in, nice little Trump challenge. Oops, now you had to kneel something good to stop it. And now I can just make it so you can't do anything. 2 more unopposed. Have a nice day. Oh, and I triggered Dorn.
So we want to move on to the next card?
S. Super S. Is anyone not giving this an S? So I can...
I'm giving it an F. Out of sheer... Like, out of sheer just me being upset.
Oh, the art is also really good. Like, so...
Of course it is.
You can always Rat King it.
Oh, man, you can Rat King it and sacrifice.
And then they flee out of it back, and you're like, oh, that was a weird play.
No, you can't rat cook it because their text box is blank.
Oh,
that's true. Yeah. And why is this thing in play in the Marshley phase anyway? So,
I'd marsh.
The one answer we came up with doesn't work. Congratulations.
I'd marshal it a fair amount.
Not against the most unbeatable deck in the meta. Night's Watch Summer Rat Cook. I do not listen to your
I would definitely. I would definitely still marshal it. I'd be like, you know what? If you want to rat cook my Shadow City Bastard, more power to you.
Oh, so do I get to go on to the next card that seems really well balanced?
If you would like to say it, you can just say and make snake sounds at this card. Go ahead.
Sure. I can't wait for listeners to hear this because I'm always like the most positive person. And like I'm actively just pissed off by reading while reading.
There's like 5 more. So I'm not even close to done.
Correct. 4-cost, loyal location, Dorn. It is Dorn traded reaction. After you lose a challenge, look at the top two cards of your deck. Add one to your hand and place the other on the bottom of your deck. It also gives plus one to initiative for some reason. Reserve, I'm sorry. Yeah, so you can just, run retail as much as you want. Do whatever you want.
We need to discuss why this is S tier. Cards are good. Choosing cards is good. You're going to lose challenges sometimes. Although, in fairness, I set this up in my HRD Starfall, and I lost like four challenges all game, and it wasn't really worth it.
It still drew you four cards.
It drew me four cards in like 13 plots.
So I believe it is the second best four drop in the game.
Hightower?
I believe Hightower is
better. I think with Sans Mace, this is better than Hightower, but with Mace in existence, Hightower is
better. I mean, you don't even need Mace. Like, you can still draw like three cards.
I get it. I get it.
I believe just like characters entering play is it can be easier than losing challenges, but like I think in certain decks where this
probably going to win.
Correct. So I think Hightower is just better in every deck. I think this card will abuse people. So
it's super good early too. Like, of course, super good early.
Yeah. It's S.
Yeah, I think you run three of it anytime you think you can afford it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like Martell Wolf, when they're just like, "Man, do I take this Ward or do I want Ramsey?"
Why not have both?
I felt, or this guy on the Facebook page last week. I don't know if you guys saw this, but like he was like, "Oh, I'm an HRD Dorn." Like, we felt so bad breaking that to him. I was like, if we could HRD Dorn, I would quit the game.
But you know what you can HRD? Starfall, which is a House Martell loyal location, cost 3, Dorn traded, House Dane, challenges action, kneel Starfall to choose a character. Until end of the phase, that character loses a challenge icon of your choice. This card is ridiculous, and I am excited to play. The Martell deck I am most excited to play is HRD Starfall. So, good card.
You know why? Do you know why Roy likes that deck? Because there's nothing Roy hates more in this game than challenges.
It's true. I hate challenges.
Roy's like, I can't count. Nope. I never know what to defend with. Just don't challenge. We pass challenges. Never fucking happy.
Yep, that's exactly my attitude.
This is my second favorite card in the box. Mm-hmm. I love this card. I don't think it's like incredibly overpowered. I think it's really good, though. I think it's very strong. I think that it should have been 4 cost, but I believe that this card is very good.
We didn't have HRD, this card would be fine. I think with HRD, the ability to start with this card in play is ridiculous and is what gives it the A- rating I'm going to give it.
Tears?
What's the best kill spell in the game?
Dracarys.
Tears?
No, not with HRD Starfall. With HRD Starfall, it is, in fact, Tears of Liss. What just got restricted?
Hence Judgment.
Yeah. It's gross. Further, like, hey, remember that stupid Martell location that no one played, Prince's Pass?
I do remember it.
Wait, who didn't play Prince's Pass?
It's not special without Starfall. It's okay.
Normal people didn't play.
Yeah. You've played every card in the game. But like Prince's Pass with an HRD Starfall is a better Ghast and Gray.
Yeah.
Like
Prince's Pass is cool.
Ugh. This card.
Like I always thought it would find its place if like icon removal hit like a Mass Exodus, which
this box.
Like it's very good. Like Prince's Pass will see actual play with real people and not just like Chaga players. Like it's good. It is good.
So we're gonna give it an A, right?
I'm giving it an A plus.
Yeah, I'm giving it an A. Roy already gave it an A minus. Will? So I think the cost in a lot of Martell decks that aren't built specifically around it keeps it from the plus.
I agree. That's why I gave it an A minus.
All right, who's up for the next dumb card?
I don't know whose turn it is. I'll go for it. We got Hotah's Axe, a unique attachment. Non-loyal, cost 2, weapon. Attached character gets plus 3 strength and reaction after a Martell character enters play during the challenge phase. Put Hotah's Axe into play from your hand attached to that character. All of your little weenies are now relatively beefy 5 and 6 strength characters, so you can make some solid challenges with them before they bounce back to hand or the bottom of your deck, or you sacrifice them to something else. I think this could be very efficient.
Well, Shadow City Bastards now a 1 for 3, right?
1 for 4.
Sorry, a 1 for 4.
So I actually have a question for Jesse. So Jesse, is it possible in a single challenges phase that I can flea bottom in Shadow City's Bastards, put a Hota's axe on it, win an intrigue challenge with my 4-strength Shadow City Bastards, then sack to take my opponent's best mid-range characters, icons, then use Arion or Obara to put Ario Hota into play, and then put this axe on him? Is that a thing you can do? Or any character? Or the Dark Star with Intimidate, and then sack that Dark Star, and it goes back to your hand, and then put another character into play, and put Hota's axe.
So there were like 6 steps that you went through. And I know that sounds very difficult to the listeners, but it will actually be very easily done. Like, if you build the deck around it,
you run more than one.
Wait, do people run more than one, or will I run more than one? Because that's a bold question.
Let's answer both questions.
Why is it on terminal? Like, why is really it terminal?
Because they want people to play attack?
Because Hota doesn't break his ass.
I watched the TV show.
2 or 3 for sure.
Hota sucks.
This isn't based on the show. Come on, guys. This is the novel.
This is based on the book where he is.
So awesome. I'll for sure run 2. Maybe and like, that. If I don't see it, like, I'll run 3. Like,
it's going to be amazing. Like, there's just so much different crap this works with.
This is just a unique, cool card, right? Like, it's just like, it lets you do cool things. Like, I like it. It's not overly powered. It allows for cool interactions. What's up?
You don't think it's overly powered? I think it's overly powered.
Yeah, it's sweet, dude.
So there's this new card coming out that we talked about like 15 times and hoping this keeps Martell down. Daenerys Targaryen.
Mm-hmm.
Hota's axe is like, I'm gonna survive.
It's pretty good against, it's pretty good against Dany.
I mean, okay, so let's say you bounce, you have it on Arion, then you bounce out Arion. It would still be in play, so it couldn't go on that character you bounced in, right?
Right.
Okay, that's good. How about Obara?
Because you don't have to return if it's on Obara.
Same thing, good. Mm-hmm. If Obara's bouncing herself.
No, because unlike Obara's worded differently than Arion, right? Because the character comes into play and then Arion returns to hand, right? That's how she's worded? But that's not how Obara is worded.
Obara is is return first, but character into play second.
Return to hand.
Yeah.
Return to. So Obara would work that way. So you can Arion, then you can Obara, then axe on Obara, then Obara, then axe on whoever you just Obara. Okay, let's move on. I'm giving this an A-. I'm convinced.
I'm going to go plus. With B+. Oh.
I don't have any of this next card, so I can't read it.
Whose turn is it? Is it Roy's turn?
Well, Aaron
is it
mine?
Roy has infinite of this.
Which is a House Martell loyal attachment. It costs 1. It's a skill. Again, a skill Aaron needs more of. Characters that you control only. Challenges action. Return attached character to its owner's hand.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is for, but someone's breaking this, right? Card.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank God it's kept away from what's her stupid name in Barra.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever run this in like a Hyper Viper as an emergency escape valve? Like, because it gets around. Like, you.
I don't know. Would ladies ever run like Blessed by the Maiden? Like, this is like the worst version, right? Like, I think this card is really cool.
I don't know what I'm doing with this, but it's good enough to annoy me. Like, because this will never be useful for something like fun more than the first time you see it. Once you realize what it's doing, you're just going to be like, oh.
Cards like this where, like, I can't even decide what I do with it. Like, I just, like, ask Leonard or Bratz and just be like, is this card cool? And they'll usually be like, yeah, we'll do this and this with it. It'll be sweet.
I mean,
like, Bratz is only ever going to play Night's Watch starting soon, so.
That's fair. Yeah.
What would you want to bounce back to hand in Myrtle to use 50 times? I mean, it's not ambushable. Yeah. Thank God. I don't know. Someone will break this eventually. I'm gonna give it a C plus in.
I know.
Yeah,
but
I know. That's
so, like, Ramsey is a good target for this.
Does this just go in the Orphan decks? Like, just like as extra?
Yeah, Martell maybe. Stag.
Maybe.
Like, yeah.
I think it's pretty maybe good on Ramsey. Like, you marshal Ramsey, sack one of their dudes, put this on him, return him to your hand, then Ariana him in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Seems good.
All right, let's move on, because this is making me sad.
I think it's someone a C-minus card. Like, it's good. Like, and that's like a... It's only going to be a good card in a deck that breaks it. So, in every other... But that deck that breaks it has to be found. It's not, like, literally sitting out there, and you're like, oh, we're immediately going to slot it in. So I'm going to give it a C- for that reason.
I give it a D.
Yeah. I think I'm going to broaden what we do with our E rating just a little bit, and I'm going to give this an E rating. Kind of like those silver bullets are... Yeah. Kind of like the silver bullets are going to be amazing in just those very narrow situations.
Wama's favorite
E rating.
What is E rating?
Aaron went through a period where he refused to make hard choices about ratings, Jesse. And he was just going around giving cards E's, and it drove JP Wama insane.
I'm gonna give it an E, which is just a W for Wama.
Kinda, yeah. Sideways.
Which is that just like,
yeah, basically.
Like, we don't know or what?
Goes in. It's a good card in one specific, very narrow application, so thus it can't be graded.
Okay. Sure.
What's the minimum? Ooh. I don't want to talk about that. All right. Johnny asked a question in our chat, and I don't want to answer right now.
All right. Oh.
Beguiled. Want to do it, Jesse?
Sure.
No, you should do it. Wait, no, you should do the next one. You like the next card. I don't.
I do.
All right. Beguiled is a zero-cost Martell attachment. It's not loyal. It's a condition, and it is terminal, thank God. Challenge action. Neil Beguiled to have attached character. Lose a challenge icon of your choice until the end of the phase.
Bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a cheaper, better version of the other
one? I'm willing to
ones.
Take that terminal hit for the flexibility and the zero cost in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Zero cost is the reason that makes the terminal swallowable.
I think it's the flexibility, because it's not like at the start of challenges. It's just kneel it, and whenever the hell you're in the mood, be like,
I like, in particular, that it punishes, like, big dude stick-around decks. So, like, a deck that's built around Tywin or Robert, Big Cersei.
Big Cersei.
Big things like that.
This
it definitely helps Martell control against all forms of big guy rush, so Tyrell as well. Like, Randall, without a power icon or a military icon, whichever one you can't control that turn. You can see all the dupes and save you want.
I feel like Martell's not super scared of Randall.
Break.
It's true. Okay,
how about Renly? Renly loses the best icon, or one of the Marges, particularly the big one, or you know, being able to Tears or Tyeen. What's his name?
Well, Mace? There's something else you need to know. Your good friend Joe Miranda would love this card.
Sure. Who doesn't love this card?
I don't love this card. I don't like icon removal. I think icon removal is really boring. I'm not going to lie. I think this is an A card, but I think icon removal is one of the most boring things they've added to the game besides passive power and combo.
It's good to have a diversity of you.
Jesse, that's why you and I are friends. Yeah, this is an A card.
Yeah.
A for sure.
I'm just going to agree.
This card is cool.
real
look. This is the review of us all going, these are good. Okay.
All right. One of my favorite cards in the box, for sure. 2 cost, loyal event. No use for grief. So we're just like Maester Kedri this end for sure. play only if a Martell character was killed under your control this round. Action. Search your deck for a Sand Snake character with print cost 3 or lower, put it into play, and shuffle your deck. Print cost 6 or lower instead if the Revved Viper is in your dead pile.
Oh my god, you're going to do this and then Doharis, aren't you? Not Doharis. Ghosts.
Why wouldn't I?
Ugh.
Like, this card is super cool.
And then Hota's Axe goes on the boat, either this or the ghost character. Ugh.
I don't think this card will see a ton of play, but like I like love this card. I bet Johnny loves this card too.
He likes it. He doesn't love it.
Obara?
There's not that many good sand things at 3 or lower.
Oh, Dorea's 3 or lower.
Who? Dude, Dorea's
Dorea's yeah, this is a C card if I ever saw one.
I think you've never seen one because this is a B minus. Like Dorea is a ridiculous swing that you can do whatever the hell you want it.
It's just an action.
It's just pay two to with my 8,000 sand snakes bounce whatever the hell I want to your hand is real good. And then I can march or fall in that and do it again. Fleabottom's gotta go, guys. Like we've hit the point where Fleabottom like can you call Greg and be like, Greg, I know you don't play, but can you email Danny and say your card should be banned, please? Just like, or give me your email address password. I'll do it for you. Just
well, you know. I'll see what I can do. You know, I may still push to errata it to like 6 cost, but we'll see what happens.
I give this card a B. I like this card a lot.
I think this is one of the more interesting tribal cards for me here. I mean, search is always strong. Popping something straight into play is that much stronger. There's some cool stuff here. And you don't have to just Maester Kedri. There's, you know, water gardens and things too. So the cost is negligible.
There's, you know, gold.
What's that?
There's gold.
There's also gold.
There's always gold.
There's, let's see, what was it?
Which Martell?
Tourney Grounds or whatever that people used to rave about. Anybody still playing that?
Targ?
They're probably not playing it.
It's in a real
event. Probably not playing it. Yeah.
Seems unlikely.
But it's fun.
I mean, it's loyal, so probably not.
It's like an interesting beat to me, I think. The jury's maybe still out on how the Sand Snake deck in Toto does, but this is a cool event and a strong win in it.
Well, I have a tournament where I'm forced to play Bear this weekend, so I will tell you how Sand Snakes are next week, Will.
All right. False plans, who's up?
I accidentally closed that window.
I'll open it back up.
Oh, go for it, Roy.
Roy false plans is a House Martell non-loyal event. Cost 1, has a challenges action. Choose an opponent. That player discards 1 card at random, from his or her hand. Reaction. After false plans is discarded for intrigue claim, the winning opponent discards 2 cards at random from his or her hand. Sure. It's a card. It's an annoying card. It's a card that's really frustrating when it goes off against you, but when you're probably playing it, you're going to be like, oh man, I wish I was running another card in my deck.
I feel like this is the kind of card that I never run because it's technically bad, but will constantly own me. Like, it's constantly going to go off against me and take the most important cards from my hand every single time.
Yeah, I mean, between this and Obella, like, how many opponents does this just scare out of making intrigue challenges? Well, not only that, but also Vengeance Failure. Like, how many opponents does this scare out of making intrigue challenges against you when they still need to be making them?
So this is a Lannister card.
It's non-conveniently non-loyal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm running it anywhere. I mean, I guess I'll probably run it in that Barra hand destruction.
The Martell Stag hand destruction, the CT deck?
Yeah, that's going to be real dumb. Well, didn't CT just steal it, but whatever.
This card is cool.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a... God damn it. It's a B minus.
I'm going to be a C. I'm going to give this a C.
Yeah, you're badly underrating.
I'd rather badly under. You're wonderfully overrating them, so we need to balance each other out somehow, Glazer.
These cards are dumb.
No. The next card is dumb.
The next card is Jesse's Hyper Viper card, so he might as well talk about it.
To the Spears. Zero cost event for some reason. Play only if there are three or more plot cards in your use pile. Each Martell character you control does not kneel when declared as an attacker in the next challenge you initiate this phase. I don't think this is a Viper card.
Turn four.
It is correct. So, yeah, I think this card is really cool in Crossing. Like, this is an AJ Valley card. Like, AJ loves this card. So this is a cool card. And I know I've said that a lot, but in all fairness, most of this box is either stupidly broken or cool. It's a unique design. Like I think it's cool that they're putting aggro in Martell. So
I don't know what to say about this. I think this is more rushy than aggro.
I mean, it's not till turn four, though, right?
Yeah, it's just there. You can delay rush. You can close on turn four in like 2 seconds.
I wholeheartedly agree.
It's very similar to the plot to the Spears. It is a was in.
Yeah.
Well, it's not where they're that good, but it's like second edition good.
I'm just saying, like, if a deck runs this, like a very. What I think is a cool deck that should run this is Martell Reigns. Like a Doran's Game deck. I think that would be very interesting and cool. Because you're going to get like a lot of power in one turn, and that's just fun.
Yeah, Martell Reigns' long game deck will definitely like this, or a long plan deck. Morsicum would also like this. I mean, just any Martell game that wants, Martell deck that wants to extend the game to about plot five and win.
Reigns gets you active one turn sooner.
Yep.
Oh, so does the stupid. Oh, right. Yep.
Change of plans?
Mm-hmm. No, at Prince Doran's behest.
At Prince Doran's behest does that as well. So.
Oh.
Or that stupid bestow dude, right?
Yeah.
That no one plays.
Picasso. So what you're saying is we can do this 2-1. with Viper turn one.
I don't think with the restricted list, Viper can do this turn one, but it could do it like turn two.
So can I note something I think that's important about Ricasso? I'm pretty sure that dude's loyal. Loyalty matters suddenly.
It does.
Indeed.
Only because people are dumb.
LGB is not dumb. Don't call LGB dumb. I like him. His card is dumb. But he's.
I didn't say that it was LGB's fault that card is out. I said only because.
You should also not call Danny dumb. We like Danny. All right, let's go.
He's calling
I'm not calling Danny. Aaron. I'm just saying.
As we all know, as we've learned repeatedly, are the worst human beings in the world. So.
I don't think that. I just like.
We should save this discussion.
I just don't understand. Yeah.
Right, so that is Spears ratings
or something.
B minus.
Yes.
Yeah, I gave it a B. What's up? What else?
B. Yeah.
Will.
Will, what are you giving it?
It's going to be fairly specific decks that I see this being played in. So I don't know. C plus, I think maybe.
At Prince Doran's behest. Oh my god. House Martell loyal plot. Zero income, zero initiative, zero claim, zero reserve. Gotta be the worst plot in the game, right? Plot deck limit one. It's an edict. One revealed, choose and reveal a new plot card. Cannot be canceled. Does anyone have anything to say about this beyond oh my god?
The possibilities are near endless. Every new plot with a... Well, with any ability at all, suddenly looks better.
It doesn't need an ability. You can just flip it in. Just flipping into Time of Plenty, whatever. Like
that's an ability.
It's sort of an ability.
I'm pretty sure that I have now said it on all three podcasts. The worst part of this game is plot manipulation. It is one thing that should never be touched, and I thoroughly, thoroughly hate
it. They've had nothing but problems with plot manipulation since, let's see. Yeah, since literally the first set of the CCG. First banned cards were both had to do with plot manipulation. And we
you remember that, but not the first edition restricted.
Do it again.
So, every deck that runs this should be running Virus's Riddle.
Yeah.
Every deck that runs this has to be running March to the Wall.
And you might even consider Naval Superiority.
Absolutely. Every Wars to Come deck should consider.
Why would a Wars to Come deck not have this? I don't understand.
Yeah.
They will.
Oh, consider Naval, yeah.
Naval.
I mean,
So this is an S.
Yeah. It's an S.
Agreed.
It's so good.
Yeah, props and slops.
Props and slops.
I want to prop and slop House Martell. Jesus Christ, dude.
I second part of that.
Hey, man. I don't know what happened, but, like, there's power creep, and then there's power, like, sprint. And this is just like, all right, I'm just going to run and bang pots and pans as I do so, and everyone's going to know I'm coming. It ain't going to matter.
I would like to prop since I have been uncharacteristically negative since I wasn't around for him. I would like to prop Doran Martell. If people don't know that, that is my favorite card in this box, and I think he is awesome. I think he is the second best 7 drop in the entire game.
I want to prop my fiance. Last week, Alla and I got engaged. And she is the most amazing person in the world, and I'm excited to spend the rest of my life with her. And she's immensely gracious to let me on this night spend like 3 hours or plus recording a podcast that were only half, 2/3 of the way, halfway done with. So she's amazing. Being engaged is awesome. And I love her very much.
Oh,
yeah. Huge
props. Seriously, congratulations, brother. That is phenomenal.
Very, very congrats. Congrats all the time.
I'm immensely grateful that I met her. She just saved my life.
That is awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Props to getting to see a lot of my Thrones family this weekend.
Thramily.
At my birthday? Yes. I will take several pictures to send to Will and Glazer to make them jealous. And Will, you got to spend some time with your Thrones family last weekend, which was cool. I saw some of those pictures.
Interesting. That's a diplomatic way to put it. Let's just say it was definitely a multi-day party.
So, Will, can I talk a little about Willie Khan here? And I have a slop.
Sure. What's up?
I want a slop. Kyle Vansel for piloting Ratcook to win that tournament. That is the most disappointing thing that has ever happened. Kyle Vansel taking the worst deck that has ever existed in the history of this game to roll his friends. This tournament he's been going to since he was like 8 years old.
But he didn't, though, right?
Yes. Why would he do that?
I thought he said
that's lies. That is just the cover story he told to not lower his stake in the community even more than it already is. It puts him in the
dead. No. Roy is totally screwed with everybody.
Oh, I was like, oh my God.
The whole ruse is me just giving Kyle a hard time about the game being about Ratcook.
Yeah. No, he played Martell Rose. You were correct about that.
No, props to Kyle for winning that tournament. He well deserved win.
This is absurd. This deck is absurd. I'm playing a Martell Wars to Come. I have Dorne out and like I've got two Southron Messengers, the freaking Obar Asen, Dornish Spy, his Viperize, Lariza. So I'm going to play Obara on his Obara to jump in the Southron Messenger on his Nymeria to bounce it to his Viperize that crap away. And this is stupid.
I'm going to close a chapter on Aaron reciting Swaps. Iron Throne games that he's playing while recording. Closing the chapter on that.
And the white book.
Right there.
For this episode, I think.